Welcome to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Frank talk about sex and dating.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 41 of season 2. My name is Tamara, and you're listening to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Jaina Swan is back today. We're going to talk about men's performance and orgasms, including pegging. If you like this episode, be sure to tell your friends about it and rate it as well. Thanks again for joining me, Jaina.
Yes, I'm so excited about this episode.
Yes, we started with female orgasms last time, so we need to go on the other side and talk about men's or male orgasms.
Absolutely, because all orgasms matter.
Yes, yes. And historically and generally, you know, people assume men always have an orgasm, but obviously there are some times where there's issues. So we'll definitely address that part. Mm-hmm. And normally, as you know, we jump right in and get started. So what are your first thoughts, or what do you want to bring up about men's either performance or orgasms? Or
well, I think you started in a really great spot, which is the fact that people assume that men always get off and that it's easy. And that's not the case. It's really not the case. I personally have been working with men for the last 18 months, and it's been such an eye-opener because the predominant thing that I hear from them in the DMs is that they have performance anxiety, which usually leads to erectile dysfunction. And there's so much there that we could go in on, but I think that talking about pleasure versus dysfunction is a little bit better of a conversation. But just the first part is, I just think that anyone listening, just know it's okay. Like, it's normal if you struggle a little bit. It's normal to have that performance anxiety. This goes for men and women, but today we're focused on our men. So it's very normal for you to have the thoughts of like, what does she think I look like? What do I smell like? Oh, am I going too fast? Am I performing this? Does she like it? Oh, I can't tell. Is it, you know, we talked last time about how it can be difficult once you reach a certain level of arousal for a woman to communicate in sentences. So men, obviously, it's hard for us to tell you that we're enjoying it. But if you can learn those little cues and get out of your own damn head, then she's going to enjoy it. The more you spend time thinking about her and the experience and everything outside of yourself, the harder it's going to be for your blood flow to stay in their penis where we need it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, and women have the same issue, but obviously males have to like externally, you know, perform. Like, there's something that happens. We can receive it, you know, pretty much if we're feeling it or not. So
right.
Men have to like, you know, as we say,
now,
get it up.
And fingers and tongues work very well to men, so you don't always have to perform using that part of your body. Your penis doesn't have to be the star of the show. A lot of times, a lot of women feel most pleasure externally, and so oral tends to be the better way to get her aroused anyways. So if you're feeling insecure about your ability to get super hard, I know some people, they'll actually grow, but they are kind of still a little bit soft. It never gets to like rock hard. So if you have that, or maybe you're on the smaller side in your opinion, and I've never met a man who didn't want an extra inch. So that's also very normal. But just remember, your fingers are usually about the same size or smaller than what you are working with, and those can do just as much magic.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that foreplay is where it's at, and fingering is an awesome way to get aroused, and it gets the juices flowing, it gets everything engorged. So start there, and then you'll see how turned on the woman is, and that will help with your anxiety or performance potentially.
Yeah, you just got to get out of your head. And the best, easiest way to do that, for a little quick tip, is go through your five senses. What do I see? And like really take in the visuals. And then what do I hear? Really close your eyes and just take in all the sounds. What are the smells? What am I smelling? Maybe what am I tasting? What am I feeling with my tongue? And all of these different senses really bring us from being too much in our head and like brings us back into your body. And so that could be a really powerful place to start.
Yeah, I recently started getting texts from an ex, which I'm sure a lot of people do, but he sent some GIFs, which show is basically little porn clips, I guess, where it doesn't show everything, but they were very hot and turned me on. So I don't know if that's like, I didn't even know those existed. I mean, I guess it makes sense. There's memes and all those kind of stuff out there, but we've been sending those while he's been sending them, and they definitely work too. So all the stuff you can do beforehand, you know, just gets everyone ready and in the mood.
Yeah. Foreplay isn't just for women. Foreplay is also for men. I know that because they can get aroused a bit easier. They often will kind of, you know, we always rush to the finish line, right? We want to get to that climax. That's the big, oh, that's what we're working towards. But I've always asked people, like, if sex feels that good, why are we rushing through the process? Why don't we like really enjoy it? It's like really enjoying small sips of a great glass of wine or a good piece of chocolate and like savoring it, or like that nice thick cut of steak. You're not just going to inhale it and not even taste it. You're really just going to let it melt in your mouth and chew and get all those flavors. Same thing goes with sex. If you want the intercourse to last longer, another good tip for those who might be, you know, struggling with premature ejaculation, which is also super common, is really just slow down. Like, you don't have to be inside the whole time. You can very well like go in and come back out, and then, you know, go from oral to, you know, some penetration, and then back to fingers and back to oral. Like, it doesn't have to progress more the whole time. It can actually go more, less, more, less, more, less. And like, you can go back and forth, right? It's going to help you stay longer. It's going to help you elongate the time you can have together, going to elongate the pleasure. There's a lot there.
Yeah. I think one guy who he did oral quickly, but then he jumped right in, you know, as soon as he got hard, he's like, okay, now I need to take advantage of this because it might not stay or it might not last. And like you're saying, if he were to go slower, it might actually enhance it versus, you know, just take advantage of like, you know, skipping right to like, okay, we did that for a little bit, let me jump right in while it's hard.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember too is, see, he got hard from giving oral. And that's a great thing, because sometimes people are givers and the giving pleasure arouses them. So they might get hard while that. But then other people might not be able to do that, right? Maybe going down and giving oral, actually you get more flaccid and you start to lose your erection because you're used to having constant stimulus. And so if someone's not touching you or enticing you on your penis or your balls or any of the perineum or like getting to the anal part, I know a lot of people don't always like that, but we're going to encourage you today because that's a big part of pleasure for men. But the idea is like, just learn yourself, right? Like if you know that you kind of get a little bit soft during oral, just know that you're going to, after finishing oral, while you move back towards intercourse, you're just going to need a little extra stimulation. Maybe that's when you ask for some oral in return. Or, you know, just knowing yourself. Some people can get, you know, maybe you're getting a little flaccid and you know that oral, performing it for someone else, turns you on. And so you're like, hey, let me go down on you for a little bit so that I can get myself pumped up again. Like just knowing your body, right?
Yeah. And I like that you said a little bit, because some guys stay down there forever hoping it's going to do something. And not all, you know, women are in their head too. So when you just keep going and going, it's better the little bit just to like arouse her. And then I had an episode with someone who does the Sex and Bacon, Sarah, and she talked about that, like slowly giving people what they want and, you know, just kind of like just going back and forth. So it doesn't feel like you have to stay down there forever and hope she'll eventually come around. So variety in the...
I hear you. Really works. Speaking of variety and male pleasure, let's talk about the prostate. Because I think it's a super powerful part of male pleasure that doesn't get highlighted quite enough.
Yeah.
So the prostate, just really quick so people can understand what it is and where it is. The prostate is an internal gland that actually is the creator of the male ejaculate. It creates and holds it internally, right? or actually creates it and then sends it to the balls, and the balls are in the scrotum is where it's held outside the body. So essentially the prostate is the G spot in a woman, because we all have the same parts. They're just organized a little different. So if we can look at the woman and her version of a G-spot orgasm and how powerful those are, and I'm sure you know just as well as I do, they are very powerful. They feel wonderful, and it can create squirting. And so the same process can happen for a man. If he requires some insertion, you're going to need to go in through the anal rectum, you know, you go in there, and you can find this little walnut shaped kind of gland. And if you were to actually stroke that gland, you might not need very much, especially at the start. You will find that your erection is going to be bigger, harder, and you might have an orgasm almost immediately, especially if you're not used to it, because it's a new sensation and it's very powerful from what I hear. Mind you, I do not have, you know, I don't have a male makeup, so I go based on what I've heard from others and the research that I've found. But prostate is so important if you're looking for that next level, right?
Yeah. And I've talked to at least three guys who've had that, and they said it just increases the orgasm. They, you know, they say shoot even farther, it just feels that much better. And they really, really, really want that. And it doesn't have to do with domination. I did an episode or two on female-led relationships where it's about control and the woman taking charge. But these guys were insistent that it is just for their pleasure. They're not being submissive. They just really enjoy it. And yeah.
And sometimes you need a helping hand to reach it, because it can be a little awkward trying to do it yourself. But that might be the first place to start, is recognizing that it is not always coming from a place of a submission dominance kind of hierarchy. It very much is about just pleasure. And so it might be nice to start by yourself in your own solo play session. Maybe just get, you could get a finger condom. We also call those finger cots. You might see them in restaurants when like a chef cuts himself, puts a Band-Aid on, they put this little rubber finger cot on. Well, you just put one of those on, lube it up nice, because remember, the anus does not have any lubrication of its own, and then just slowly play around the rim, and then slowly insert one knuckle at a time, and then just see how it feels for you. And give it two or three tries, because the first time we don't always have the best experience, because we can get in our head, which tightens and tenses, and it's not as fun.
Yeah.
So try it out.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, just like women, you have to go slow at first. Like I emphasize it every time, very, very slow at first, because I did have one guy of the three that said it kind of hurt. And I'm guessing it's because it was, you know, either not enough lubrication or just maybe too fast
or too big.
And yeah. And but slow is definitely, and then like you said, relaxation, so it can go in easily. And how far in is the prostate? Is it different for different people, or is there generally like how far?
Yeah, it's a little different for everybody. Obviously, all of our bodies are made up differently, but it's about two knuckles in. So anyone should be able to just use a single finger to reach, but it's about two knuckles in. You shouldn't have to go much more than that to be able to find it, but if you just kind of feel around, you'll find it. So if he were to be seated, let's say on the end of a bed or on the floor or in a chair, and kind of rolled his hips forward a little bit, if someone were to come from the front and do like the come hither motion, because I know we're on a podcast, so come hither. So your finger is going up towards the sky, which is also where, you know, pulling towards the front of his body. So that's kind of where you're going to be able to feel it. It's super powerful too, because it's something that, just like the female G-spot, it needs to be swollen first to feel it, right? So that gland is always there, but the more aroused you are before you go to it, the more you're going to be able to feel it, because it is erectile tissue. It'll swell up and it'll actually get a little bit bigger as it fills. So it's really not that far in. It's not, you don't need anything of huge size to be able to get the pleasure. There are toys that are built for prostate play that have a perfect angle, make it easy for one person to do it with themselves to hold on to. They're very thin, very small, because again, you just need to be able to massage that gland. You don't need like a girthy size, right? And sometimes that can cause pain, especially if we're not ready and we're tense and stressed out. So just relaxing, maybe find a prostate toy. You can buy them on Amazon. You can get them from a sex store. And they just have this interesting little curve, almost like an S curve to it, that you would then just insert. And then you can, you know, manipulate until you find the gland. And then you'll know when you hit it.
Yeah. And I also heard that you should have like kind of like the ends should be thicker, because I've, you know, I can't remember if I saw it on somewhere, but you know, the medical establishment knows that if it's too skinny with no end, no thick end at the end, it'll just slide right in. So yes, you don't want it to get lost. But you definitely have the kind that has kind of like a little handle. So they
great point. Awesome point. Yes, absolutely. Safety first. We don't want anything that doesn't have a flared bottom. So just if you look at like a butt plug, it has a flared kind of, it almost looks like a suction cup, but like a flared bottom or something that has a T at the bottom. The toys I'm specifically talking about have rings, like round rings for the finger hold. So that in itself will keep it from going in, because we can remember the vaginal canal is a cul-de-sac. Things can come in, but they'll always come back out. The anus is not the same. The anus will go all the way through to the other end. So you don't want to end up in the ER awkwardly trying to talk about why it is you have a marker up inside or a Sharpie, or, you know, don't use objects that aren't meant to go in there. Also those can be really unhygienic, and it can be really, you know, you gotta be careful. Even though we are talking about the anus, there's still a level of hygiene that you need. So just, you know, if you do happen to want to do that over a toy, make sure it has a flared bottom, that it can't go all the way in, and maybe put a condom on it, as well as a lot of lube, because we want to make sure it's nice and wet and slippery so that we don't create what they call anal fissures, which are very tiny micro tears in, you know, that area. And that's where we can have, if you happen to have a partner that you're playing with, that's where you can have transfer of STD, STI, and other infections that can be really bad. So lots and lots of lube, start small, work your way up, and make sure there's a flared bottom.
Yeah. And I think this is the right time to mention pegging as well, because those same guys that I mentioned that talked about the prostate also talk about pegging, which is, you know, and primarily they see like women with strap-ons, and, you know, they're the ones inserting themselves. And the one guy I talked to extensively about this, and he really wants to pass the word. Like, it's such an amazing pleasure for him, and he thinks more men should do it. And he, you know, it's obviously with strap on, it's strapped, it's, you know, it's attached, so it's not going to slip in or stick in as well or get lost. So he swears by it, and he really wanted me to relay that more men should enjoy it. And
there's a lot to talk about with that too, because pegging is a really great experience if you're with the right partner, if you're in a safe space, and if you have that trust there, because it does require you to relax. You know, anything, almost everything with sex requires us to relax into it, right? And the beauty of pegging is that with strap-ons, they come variable. So you don't necessarily have to be like, oh my gosh, pegging, that's, you know, huge. It's like, it doesn't have to be. You can actually get insertion pieces that are smaller than a pinky finger. You can get them so they're very, very small, and just work your way up over time. Pegging also doesn't have to be aggressive. It doesn't have to be something that's fast, harder, harder, faster. Like, that's not always the greatest way to go. And, you know, so you can find your partner, communicate well, but I do stand firmly in his ground too, is that everybody that I've spoken to who has an experience with pegging, might have been awkward the first couple of times, but after they got a good partner that they trust, they established boundaries, talked about consent, and found the toys that were the right fit for them, that's when they say, oh my gosh, it is like no other. And there's just something to it, right? there doesn't necessarily have to be a level of submission with pegging either. Yeah. You can still very much be the dominant, but be the one being serviced in a sense. But what you do have to do is you have to surrender to the process, because you are now the vessel. You are the one taking versus giving. And so now you have to be able to surrender. Surrender being that relaxation process of just allowing it to happen. And so it does take a bit of mental workup before you can actually get to something like this. But it's from what I hear, it is quite the winner.
Yeah. And then the other issue is like this guy, he found a partner that's into that and actually like gets turned on herself just doing it. And she had always had fantasies, but was previously married. So, you know, that never occurred. And she always kind of thought about it. So he was very hesitant, or has been hesitant in the past, to bring it up to other partners. Is there, much like everything, there's communication, but do you have any specific ideas on how to bring something up like that? Or...
Yeah. I mean, the first thing before we answer that question is the fact that you actually don't need a partner for pegging. You can very well get a sibian, which is it looks like a saddle for a horse, and the toys go attached right onto that. You can buy sibian attachments that are just the size of a finger, and you can use that instead of a partner, to where you're still getting that enjoyment, but you don't have to yet extend that trust to another person. So there are other options. There also are toys you can suction cup to, like a glass, you know, wall or something in a shower, and you can enjoy that way. But then when you are ready to invite a partner in, this is the same thing goes for any level of sexual experience that's new, is I would always encourage talking about what your past traumas might be that might be triggered, because we need to know triggers in advance. Also talking about, you know, what you're looking to get out of this. It's not just the act in itself. Sometimes we're looking to get something out of it. Well, I want my erection to be harder for longer. Oh, okay. So you're not looking to get to orgasm faster, where some people might be, oh, I want to get there faster. So there's a big difference in how you would go about that. But with anything, you want to make sure that you have this conversation in a private space, a safe space. I encourage locking a door, so you can have that actual anchor of I locked the door, I am now safe. Being home, having dinner at home or in a private space so that you don't feel like other people are hearing you. And then really just open the floor with a simple question of sometimes you can use like a movie that might bring up a reference or a TV show and be like, hey, yeah, I happened to see something the other day about this. Have you ever been curious about trying that? Like, that's a casual way to do it. Or you can have an intentional conversation where you just come out with it. And like, getting it started is always the most difficult. But once you're in the conversation, you're pretty good. Where if you just start by just say, hey, you know, I really have enjoyed our sexual experiences recently. And, you know, like with anything in life, there's progression. You always want a little bit more. Well, I did some reading online and I heard that this pegging thing might bring me this sense of fulfillment in our sexual experience that I'm looking for. Maybe that next level, that new thing. And I'd love to try it. Is this something you're open to? And then that's when you can start that discussion. And if they say no, like just flat out no, sometimes it's best to just respect it. If you can tell that there's that maybe trauma from the past, or maybe they're just, and then there's the no where it's that curious no, like, no, I don't know if I really would be into it. That's when you want to ask more questions. Like, well, what do you know about pegging? Maybe they just don't know anything at all and it's scary. Or maybe they've only seen porn where it's like extreme pegging. And it's like, okay, like, let me walk you through what I think. And so sometimes painting the picture of what it would actually look like can make it a little easier. Or introduce a video of porn that maybe you've seen that depicts it in the way that you want to experience it. Where it's like, hey, here's another couple doing it the way I'm thinking. And so it doesn't seem so much of an aggressive act. And so, but these are conversations that aren't necessarily going to happen fast. They might take some time. Like you might have to have this conversation for a couple months, multiple times, where you're easing them into the idea of this. And then you finally get to a point where you're both comfortable to talk about it. You're both comfortable with the idea. You know what the boundaries are. You know what the goal is. And then you go to the store and you look for a strap-on or Amazon it. Online's great. And then you start to work into like trying these things. I think step one might just be a finger cot and trying with hands first. That way you're not spending a bunch of money on things that you're not going to use again. But I think that's how I would go about that conversation.
Yeah. And traditional porn, or at least in the past, was pretty, like you said, aggressive. And I mentioned the site Make Love Not Porn many times. And that's probably, you know, more like amateur and more loving version of porn. So that might be a good start too. And I'm, you know, I'm always mentioning books. I'm reading a book, To Raise a Boy. It just talks about men's experiences, mostly younger men's experience. But if you want to think how the mind, the male mind works, that might be a good book too. It's kind of, obviously it's raising a boy's, but it just, there's a lot of fact-based research and just stuff in general to talk about men.
Yeah. So. And remembering that pegging is something that can be done male to male, but it's also very common that it's female to male. And if we remind ourselves as men, we tend to forget that females are wired a little differently. And just like females like it nice and slow and ease in, they're probably more likely to do the same for you. And so if you're looking for that aggressive pegging, you might want to communicate that, because she will probably be more likely to ease in and go slow. But if you also have a fear around someone being too fast and too aggressive, A, talk about that, and B, just remember that women inherently prefer the slow and sensual acts, so it's likely that that's how she'll perform with you when it comes to pegging as well.
Yeah, and definitely to start, like I emphasized again, and you know, maybe women and men might like it faster later, but it's definitely the start, just to like, it's my... I wasn't sure if I was going to bring this up, but my first boyfriend ever, he was like lifting me up and we were had normal, you know, regular sex, and he accidentally started to go in, and it was like so painful, you know, with no, you know, just it barely did, but I would like, had to, I was like jumped down. I'm like, no, like that hurt. It like stung for a while. So I can't even imagine, and which bulge is very much how I imagine why you have to go slow. And I've emphasized that ever since, like, slow in the beginning.
We prepare the body for it, especially if we're going to accept something into our body, whether that's food, whether that's, you know, a toy, whether that's another person. We always want to prepare the body. And in process of that, we have to prepare the mind. Because again, relaxation is everything. And mm-hmm. I feel like in that moment, based on what you said, you might not have been in such a relaxed state, especially if you're being picked up, because then you're like tensing your whole body, like, don't drop me, like all these things. And so that can create a lot of tension. And tension is where pain stems from, because when there's all that tension. Now, we do need tension and release and relaxation for orgasm. So there is a bit of good tension. But that comes after the release and the relaxation. So you want to be able to initially relax into it. And then over time, you'll start to feel that good tension come in.
Yeah. And this may be a good spot. I generally keep it to around 30 minutes. And we're close to that. But I would say if you wanted to, I know you were on your last episode here. You mentioned your podcast and all the stuff you're doing. If you want to mention that again for those that may have missed the first episode.
Yeah, I have a podcast, Happy, Healthy, Horny with Jaina Swan, and we talk about mental health, physical health, and sexual health. I bring on interviews with experts in their own field and normal everyday people to talk about topics, and then I always follow up that episode with another solo episode where I just dive deeper on the topic, and I try and give those tactical strategy kind of things, like activities you can actually walk away and do to be able to see that change in your own life. And I'm obsessed with it. I really have loved podcasting over the last few months. We only just launched this. So yes, that's the best place to find me. Otherwise, I do hang out on Instagram. And if you want to know anything that I'm doing, you can always go to janaswan.com as the best place to keep up to date with what I'm up to.
All right. Awesome. And are there any closing comments you want to make on the topic we just talked about? I know we didn't cover performance too much, but we kind of just, you know, got the basics. So anything on either topic that you just kind of want to leave the listeners with?
Try everything at least 2 to 3 times, because when we try things, you want to try it A, by yourself first. If it does require a partner, which there's always a workaround, but you want to try it with a partner. But then if possible, if you're not married or in a monogamous relationship, try it with a different partner, because sometimes we can have a poor experience with pleasure because it's with the wrong partner, where they don't make us feel safe and we don't have that level of trust. There's no ease of communication. So just give it 2 to 3 times to try it out and just relax. Remember, it's okay, and pleasure is normal, and performance anxiety is also very normal. So just relax and enjoy, because the more you relax, the more you will enjoy.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thank you very much for those parting words. And if you know anyone that could use this information, you know, like, or maybe you've wanted to try, this would be a good episode as well to just be like, hey, I was listening to this episode and maybe we should try this. And if you're a woman that's hesitant, or a man that would like to, you know, this would be a good one. And definitely subscribe if you like this, and rate this episode also if you liked it, and check out Jana's podcast as well. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jana. Another educational and, from what I've been told, entertaining episode as well. So thank you again.
Awesome.
Frank Talk, Frank Talk, sex and dating educates.